Happy Soft Rock Wednesday, Cairo Knights family. It's your boy Mace hanging out with you. It's a beautiful day out.
It is.
It's crisp, but it's dry.
It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood.
Frank, that was...
Don't you want to be my friend?
That's our buddy Mel Blanc. He'll be in at the top and bottom of the hour with the news. DB, of course, on the ones and twos. And tonight, a very special treat. Frank,
yes.
I've been flying solo so far this week, but we wanted to do something a little bit special. He is somebody who is a new friend of the show.
Yes.
He is currently occupying some space at KSCO in Santa Cruz, California.
Yes.
Cairo Knights family, put your hands together for Captain Jack Stein. Yes, sir.
Wow. That is some high-level production right there. We don't do anything.
Can you believe it?
I just come on and I just say, world famous Jack Stein, how's it going, everybody? And then but that was the best intro I've ever had in my life.
Well, you know, we got skills over here. We can go to the internet, we can pull a song, and we can play it on the air. Within minutes.
Wow.
Within minutes.
We don't even have computers here. We don't even have calculators.
You're on the Abacus program down
still
there?
Still on the Abacus. Still doing it.
You know, stick with what works. It's been around for long enough. They've worked the kinks out. If you guys want to be a part of the conversation tonight, of course, you can text the State Roofing text line. That's 98973. We're going to cover a lot of stuff tonight, a lot of stories. Just been jam-packed with things to talk about this week, and tonight is certainly no exception. So let's get to it.
Here's the top three things we need to discuss. Number one.
We're going to talk a little coronavirus. The U.S. Center for Disease Control and Prevention have begun alerting all Americans of a potential outbreak of the coronavirus. Before this week, the CDC's primary effort was to keep the virus from getting into the United States. But with its rapid spread throughout several countries in the last couple weeks, officials are now telling the American public to prepare for the virus to hit. Fox Business had Dr. Nicole Safier on to explain how the virus can affect the lungs.
So coronavirus is a part of the coronaviridae family, which are respiratory viruses. And because it is respiratory, of course, the lungs are what is infected first. And that is what we see the majority of people having symptoms. Now, it's important to say over 80% have just very mild symptoms. So upper respiratory, cough. But in some cases, you can have non-life-threatening pneumonia. But then in even fewer cases, you can actually have what we call acute respiratory distress syndrome, or ARDS. And that is where it starts attacking the small vessels in the lungs. They start seeping out fluid and they fill up the air sacs, alveoli, in the lungs, which make oxygen transport very difficult into the bloodstream. And you can imagine the sequence of events that happens there. If you're having poor oxygen flow into your blood system, this is going to have sequela of events everywhere else in the body. Now, it's important to say it's not necessarily direct damage from the virus that is causing this. Rather, it is a complex immune response of our own body. And so some people will call this sepsis or sepsis syndrome. And what you see is your body can start dilating its blood vessels, which drastically lowers the blood pressure in the body. And now this can affect many other organs, including the brain, including the heart, hypoperfusion of the kidneys, the liver, and just your tissues in general. So this is when you start to see extreme cases of the disease and why some people may actually die from it.
82,000 people have been infected with the coronavirus in 43 countries. Also China, nearly 3,000 are dead. But fear not, American public. President Trump addressed the nation this afternoon to talk about the CDC and the virus. And rest assured, the president is putting his best man on it.
I'm going to be putting our Vice President Mike Pence in charge. And Mike will be working with the professionals, the doctors, and everybody else that's working. The team is brilliant. I spent a lot of time with the team over the last couple of weeks, but they're totally brilliant, and we're doing really well, and Mike is going to be in charge, and Mike will report back to me, but he's got a certain talent for this.
Pence is on it, guys. Don't worry about it. A guy who doesn't believe in science. It's fine. It's fine. It's fine. Mike Pence took the podium just after Trump, telling the American people that while the risk is low for us to get the virus, he and his team will go to every possible length to prevent its spread. Now, in preparation for the virus, the G and Ursula show right here on Cairo Radio from 9 to noon, they had Dr. Peter Rabinowitz, director of the UW Center for One Health Research. He was on this morning to tell us what we all need to know about this virus. Dr. Rabinowitz claimed that despite Vice President Pence's reinsurance, the risk of catching the virus is high enough that at least the American public, at the very least, should be like a little bit worried.
If we don't take some preparations right now and it gets worse, we're going to really feel like we missed the boat. We need to be concerned. We need to be worried. And we need to be doing some preparation.
Preparation, not panic. We're not there yet. Part of this preparation, though, is making sure that you keep your hands away from your face after you touch something.
You can definitely get something like the flu and, we think, coronavirus by touching a surface that has those droplets on it and then touching your mouth or your eyes or your nose.
He even said, don't worry about the face masks. Just wash your dang hands.
We don't think that masks are a great protection anyway. You should be washing your hands frequently. You should be staying away from people coughing.
So according to Dr. Rabinowitz, the next couple weeks are crucial as to how the virus is going to end up spreading.
The virus is on the move. It's slowing down a bit in China, but it's on the move outside China. And that means that we have to think that it could keep spreading. And we're really going to see what happens in the next week or two.
So we'll just have to wait and see. You know, it's like an oncoming storm, how hard the country is going to be hit by the virus. It feels a little ominous. Jack, where do you stand on this?
Well, I was concerned, and I was so... No, I wasn't, actually. I thought to myself, well, how much money is being thrown at this? And I typed in, you know, how much money does the CDC have? And I found all these articles that said, Trump's cutting the CDC. He's been cutting... People are panicking.
Yeah.
And then I came across Business Insider, and I'm scrolling down, I'm reading the article, and at the very bottom, it says the Trump administration recently requested $2.5 billion in emergency funds.
Mm-hmm.
$2.5 billion, and I thought, Daddy Trump's taking care of it. I'm not worried about it. Everyone wants to dump on the guy because they say he's not doing a good enough job. And then at the bottom, the absolute bottom of the article, well, he just requested $2.5 billion. What are we going to do? We're all going to die.
It does seem that way. I kind of laughed at the Mike Pence thing. That just struck me as odd. I mean, Mike Pence is notorious for not believing in fairly solid scientific fact. And Twitter, as Twitter will do, uncovered a tweet from Donald Trump. There is a tweet for everything. And apparently, in October of 2014, the president, before he was the president, tweeted, Obama just appointed an Ebola czar with zero experience in the medical area and zero experience in infectious disease control. A total joke! All caps.
Do I trust Mike Pence to handle? I think that Mike Pence is kind of, he's not really going to be the QB on it. I think he'll be more like the general manager.
Yeah.
He'll just be making sure everything's going, you know, its way. But I thought, well, why Mike Pence? And then I thought, well, who else is going to do it? Who else would take that job?
Right.
It's got to be Mikey P.
It's got to be.
My man.
It's got to be Mikey P.
Number two.
Four men were arrested today by the FBI after they were found to be members of a violent extremist group called Atomwaffen. Cairo 7 TV's Simi Kim was down at the King County Courthouse today with these details.
Cameron Shea of Redmond made his first appearance in federal court. It was just hours after authorities announced he was arrested, along with three others described as racially motivated violent extremists linked to the neo-Nazi group Atomwaffen. Feds say the 24-year-old Shea is a top recruiter for Atomwaffen, which is the German phrase for atomic weapon. The complaint also alleges Caleb Cole, who once lived in Arlington before moving to Texas, is one of Atomwaffen's leaders. He was arrested in King County last fall on gun charges. Feds say they mailed posters to the homes of a local journalist and activists with the Anti-Defamation League to threaten and intimidate them.
U.S. Attorney Brian Moran spoke in front of the media today talking about these arrests. Moran made the point that freedom of speech does not protect these four men nor anybody affiliated with the Atomwaffen sector of this neo-Nazi movement.
The First Amendment does not protect speech if it's accompanied by acts that are taken in furtherance of that hatred and the intent to intimidate and incite violence.
The suspects sent out hateful posters to a TV journalist for King 5 News, including one depicting The journalist with the words death to pigs scrawled on it, the word phony pasted over his eyes. FBI Special Agent Ray Duda also addressed the media to talk about the threat that these four people are.
The subject arrested here this morning and the other subjects arrested around the country posed a legitimate and escalating threat to anyone who dared counter or try to expose their activities.
According to Agent Duda, the suspects had been on the FBI's radar for a while.
These subjects first came to our attention in 2018. They utilized the internet and social media to spread their message and make their plans. As the group expanded, they participated in military-style training and hate camps.
He addressed the suspects directly and all other extremists with this statement.
We will not stand by idly while you attempt to undermine the freedoms for which our nation stands.
So as of now, each of the four suspects are going to face federal court in each of the districts that they were arrested in, the earliest being Cameron Brandon Shea, who will appear in Seattle's federal court at 2 o'clock next Wednesday. According to Cairo 7 TV, these extremists also mailed threatening posters to journalists in Phoenix and Tampa. Jack, we got a white supremacist problem here in this country.
I wouldn't say it's really so much of a problem, but it does sound like these guys were really, you know, they're good uses for the First Amendment, and there are poor uses for the First Amendment, and this certainly falls in that bracket. I wonder, though, if you can pull intent from them, and these are horrible posters, don't get me wrong,
sure.
I think that this is absolutely disgusting, but can we pull intent from it in saying that, well, this is obviously going to lead to violence, this is obviously going to lead, or were they just being trolls? People have said worse things on the internet than this, right?
Yeah, oh yeah, for sure. But these guys had been on, like I said, they'd been on the FBI's radar for a long time. They had been pulled over, for example, this Cameron fellow, when he was in Texas, was with someone else. They got pulled over. They had a bunch of firearms on them, a bunch of ammunition that they shouldn't have had. They were not legally allowed to have. So I think they're... You kind of know where the end road is here. And one of the big deal... The big deals is that this Cameron Brandon Shea was like an organizer. He was active in these things. They were sort of practicing violence. And I think it's pretty fair to draw a common sense conclusion there. Yeah,
I would agree with you. I wonder what they're going to get hit with legally, though, and will it match the crime? Because I'm the number one proponent of non-Nazism. Nazis are so gross.
Yes.
But how much punishment should they really get for sending mean posters and having firearms that they shouldn't have had?
Well, they are all charged with a single count of conspiracy to mail threatening communications and commit cyber stalking. And that offense carries a maximum penalty of 5 years in prison, which doesn't sound like a lot to me. But
seems like a little steep to Mr. Jack Stein. Seems like
a little steep.
5 years? A little steep.
I don't know. Threats turn into stuff, Jack. It's scary out there.
Number three.
So there's going to soon be another way to get around Seattle, courtesy of AAA. You all know AAA, insurance company, famous for roadside service and fast response times, fingers crossed. They're getting into the rideshare game. They are rolling out in the spring an app called Gig Carshare. And the service will follow the same models as companies like Car2Go, Reach Now, Lime Pods, allowing people to log into the app, find cars stationed around the city that you can rent and drive around for a reasonable fee. Lucky for AAA, services like Car2Go, Reach Now, and Lime have all taken their cars out of Seattle. They've stopped those services. So Gig Car Share, you could argue, came in at the best time. The rate for driving one of those cars starts at 40 cents a minute or $15 for an hour. And you don't have to have a AAA membership to rent the cars, but if you do, you get a sweet little 10% discount. The service is set to begin in April, with AAA deploying 250 Toyota Priuses for the initial release. Do you like this kind of thing?
I initially was against it, and now I'm for it.
Oh, really?
I keep reading all of these articles about how there's too much traffic in metropolitan areas. There's too much. People need to take more public transit. People need to take more buses and so on and so forth. But I think that if the market will decide whether or not this app succeeds. people don't like it. Maybe they are getting tired of waiting in traffic. Maybe the, you know, there's the rate's too high. It'll determine whether this goes up or down.
Yeah, it's existed. It's actually a Northern California company. It's based out of AAA in Northern California. They've been in Berkeley and Oakland for 3 years. Expanded to Sacramento last year. They have 65,000 members, a fleet of 750 cars, and they picked Seattle because of a proven track record of demand, according to the company. But those all the other rideshare companies we mentioned aren't here anymore. They all pulled out. They all had some problems. And so while it looks like there's a vacuum for this kind of thing, which I like, I've used these services before. I don't own a car, and sometimes you need a car. And I always appreciated that option, but we'll see if it holds up.
I use Uber so much that I've ascended to the rank of platinum member.
You're the mayor of Uber?
Yeah, pretty much at this point. I take it almost every single day. It's probably my biggest luxury in life is getting into somebody else's car and just ranting at them for 10 or 15 minutes on my way to work. But if the thing, you know, you look at Uber, a company like that has been super successful. Yeah. I think that AAA might be just playing catch up here, even though they're totally behind the ball.
Sure.
About 5 years too late.
Yeah, a little bit. Little bit.
And now it's time for DB's Deep Dive. Healthy Hump Day.
Happy Healthy Hump Day, Aaron. Happy
Thanks,
Healthy
DB.
Hump Day, Jack.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to actually keep it pretty short today. Usually I've got like a article that I've read and I've done a little bit of research, yada, yada, yada. Well, we've got sort of a health crisis, as you guys heard in the in that first little tidbit. So I'm actually just going to echo Dr. Rabinowitz.
Mm-hmm.
Great name, by the way. I'm going to echo what he said and just wash your hands. Do not touch your face as much as possible, especially if you've been touching other objects. Stay away from your face. And again, wash your darn hands. And I think that's sort of the most important thing with this whole coronavirus.
Can I tell you a little something about me? The way I wash my hands, if you were to see me do it, you would worry about my mental state. I'm like Howard Hughes in the bathroom. Really am. Just always have been. Don't know why.
Carrying a little bar of soap and a little tin.
Yeah, that's right. I keep it in the tin. I have to wait for someone to open the door so that I can leave. It's a whole situation. Well, that's not true. But I do wash my hands like a maniac. And that's kind of how you have to do it. At least 20 seconds, they say. Really get in there between the fingers. Don't forget about your thumbs. Scrub, scrub, scrub away. And if you can't wash your hands with water and soap, you can use some sort of hand sanitizer. But make sure it's at least 60% alcohol. That's what the CDC says. Jack Stein, the world famous Jack Stein, is going to be hanging out with us all night. We got a bunch of fun stories to talk about. And coming up next, our girl Rachel Bell, she's going to talk to us about a yoga experience she had that is unlike any I've ever heard of. It's coming up next, Cairo Nights.
I was just going to ask you the same question. I don't.
You just get to open your mouth and make a bunch of sounds. Thank you, Michael McDonald.
And thank you, Rachel Bell. Happy Soft Rock Wednesday to you.
It's a national holiday for me.
It is.
It's a national holiday.
I'm going to write Washington. Washington,
D.C. Washington. I know. They're always trying to make useless laws and, you know, why not this?
Yeah, if you can have, like, National Soup Day.
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah.
Dear Mr. Government.
So yesterday we got a bunch of chowder delivered because it was allegedly National Chowder Day.
Yes.
But in our bathroom every month, they put up a piece of paper that, you know, has all kinds of facts, et cetera.
Yes.
And it did not say Chowder Day in there. I think it said National, I don't know, Strawberry Day or something.
Yeah, there's all kinds.
I'm getting mixed messages. I don't know who to believe.
The fool.
The fool.
That's what a fool believes.
What a fool believes.
Oh, that's bad.
I know.
Sorry, everybody.
Let's get to my story. Using a door code, I let myself into Sanctuary, a new tech-informed yoga and meditation studio near the waterfront in Seattle. And when the door shut behind me, the city began to disappear. Up a set of stairs the color of Himalayan pink salt is the dim lobby. where a docent awaits you, speaking in hushed tones.
All right, so if you just want to come around the corner here, we have a small cubby for you to put your shoes, and you're welcome to bring everything else with you. You'll have a private studio today.
The difference between Sanctuary and any other fitness or yoga class I have taken is that I was the only student in the room. I was actually the only person in the room. There wasn't even a teacher there. A video of an instructor was projected on an entire wall of my private yoga suite.
Inhale, left leg goes up to the sky behind you. And exhale, step it forward in between your hands. Virabhadrasana 2, warrior 2. So again, we're moving towards the...
She was on a beach in Mexico, but I could have chosen another instructor in a Moroccan jungle. It was my choice. Everything was my choice. The music, the temperature of the room, if I wanted aromatherapy, if I wanted a cup of specially blended tea. I got to choose what time I wanted to arrive to take the class and how easy or difficult it would be. You choose all of this on the app before you arrive. Have it your way. It's the Burger King of yoga studios. Having it your way is pretty dreamy. But when I first learned of Sanctuary, I thought, ugh, this is so Seattle. A place where you go to take a solo yoga class in a city of introverts who don't like to talk to strangers, who don't even like to stretch near strangers. I asked studio director Sarah Goble, what's the benefit of taking a class alone?
Great question. And one we hear often. The experience is the experience of disconnecting to reconnect. So when you carve out time in your schedule to be in a fully judgment-free zone, a zone where you are not comparing whatsoever to other folks in a yoga class. We also chose not to have mirrors in the space so that there's not even comparison with yourself. You start to develop more compassion for yourself, being in isolation that way. And as you feel more compassionate toward yourself, that actually spills over to other people. And that allows you to actually feel more friendliness towards the people in the rest of your life.
Seattle's Christine McHugh has taken a few classes at Sanctuary. She says it's a welcome relief from crowded yoga studios where you need to fight for a space and practice very close to someone else.
I would never admit that I compare myself to people in classes, but I do. I did belong to a studio for a while that I stopped going to primarily because even though I'm like super in shape, I felt like I was out of shape compared to some of the people in there. I was a little intimidated by it. And here I don't have the intimidation factor.
After your 50-minute class, you get another 30 minutes to just enjoy yourself in the suite.
So you could take a nap, you can meditate, or the private studios have an adjacent, beautifully appointed bathroom with our custom shower products. Take your time there, feel pampered, feel that spa-like feeling.
What does Christine do with her time?
Mostly just sitting there, reflecting. Oh, and then I do take pictures too, of course. That's what I do with my time.
In the room?
Yeah. I take pictures, post on social media.
the
screen and stuff. Yeah. That's the only thing. It's like, this is so cool. I want to share it with everybody, but then it disrupts my practice. So,
not everyone practices solo. You can also create your own class by inviting your friends to share a suite.
We have more group sessions being booked on the weekends than anything else. So people are bringing friends, but we definitely have had our repeat people that are like, I'm an introvert, and this is a beautiful place to just really calm and center for someone that is more introverted.
There is a price to pay for privacy. Solo classes are $50, and it's $30 each if you come with a group.
So how much more is that than a regular yoga class? Because as you may be able to tell, I do not frequent a yoga studio.
Namaste. Yeah. I've noticed that nobody that works here does, because everyone I've told about the price has asked me, oh, is that a normal price? Right. I'm like, it is not normal to spend $50 to go to yoga. I would say on the high end, in my experience, it'd be $22 a class.
Okay.
And then if you kind of buy a pack or whatever, it ends up being anywhere from like $12 to $18. So it's quite expensive.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's probably just for a certain set of people who can afford to take a $50 yoga class. I was a huge skeptic. And when I was done, I liked it a lot.
Yeah.
I won't go back because it was too expensive. But, you know, I thought, oh, it's so dumb. Why can't people just take a normal class? But I have to say, in this age of social media and phones and all of this constant talk in the news about connecting and, you know, coming back together, what about not connecting? Like, do we have to talk to everybody? And that's something I've been thinking about recently is like, you know, we still need alone time. And there's all this talk of, you know, oh, whenever they put the self-checkout in the grocery store, you don't get the old conversation with the person. It's like, do I have to have a conversation with everybody?
all day, every day.
I like that.
Like, can't you just go buy your groceries and go home? So when I work out in the morning, I take classes, and there is this forced social aspect where in one of the classes, they always are like, high five the person next to you. I don't want to.
I don't want to do that.
And like, tell them good job. It's like, good job. Just let me be.
Yes.
And also, it's I talk all day. I just want to have some time to myself and just work out and leave.
I totally had a shift during your story where I it started and I'm like, come on. And then, like, yeah, wait. Being alone is more relaxing.
Yeah.
Gym intimidation is a real thing, and it keeps a lot of people from starting.
Yeah.
And then that idea, that sweet idea that you can bring a bunch of friends and, like, have a place to have a class together, Again, if you can afford it, this does sound like a really great idea.
It was fancy. I'll tell you one thing. I used every product in that bathroom.
As you should.
Which, if I stay in a hotel, which is very rare, sometimes it'll be for a media thing and I'm put up in a hotel. Mm-hmm. I'm using everything and I'm taking everything.
I'm taking it with me.
I didn't take anything from here because it wasn't that kind of situation. But I sprayed almost my whole body with various post. I was like, pss, 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 everywhere. I mean, I don't care if I get a rash. I want your stuff. But, yeah. No shame in the game.
That's right.
Of being alone. And I also thought if you're a parent, this is probably great because you don't get that kind of alone time. And, you know, having the 30 minutes after the class to journal or whatever sounds very easy to make fun of, but it's kind of a way to force yourself to do nothing. And it'd probably be a good idea to leave your phone outside of the room so that you don't just lay on your back and Instagram for your special alone time.
I was just going to say, just having that time to have an excuse to check out and not look at your phone. I paid good money.
Yeah.
I'm not going to look at my phone. I think that just on its face is valuable.
I didn't say anything because I wanted to hear this.
Uh-huh. You made fun of me last time. You were unhappy with my soft rock selections.
I was unhappy and I expressed my complaint.
So I doubled down this week.
This week is great.
Thanks, Rach. New podcast today? Tomorrow?
Tomorrow. Okay. Yeah. New Your Last Meal tomorrow featuring comedian Guy Branum.
He's funny and psychic.
Exactly. Also, we talk about why do prunes have such a bad name? Coming up tomorrow. Subscribe now so you get it as soon as it comes out.
Thanks, Rachel.
Thanks. You're welcome.
One of the greatest soft rock songs of all time. Is it Wedding Singer? No. The movie where they had the band that inserted all the profanities into this song? That was a solid one. It's a legendary movie. I can't pull it. Jack, do you know what I'm talking about?
The Wedding Singer?
No, that's what I said. And it's not that. If you know, 98973, stay Rubik text line. What movie am I thinking of? This is a fun game we're playing on Cairo Nights tonight. Happy Soft Rock Wednesday, everybody. My co-host tonight is live and direct from Santa Cruz, California, the world-famous Jack Stein. Hey, Jack.
World-famous is maybe one of the best things that I ever decided to refer to myself as.
Well, if you're going to brand.
Yeah, it's one of the best decisions I've ever made for myself personally.
So I want to talk a couple minutes about the idea of bringing children to work.
No.
Jack, with the hot take. Down in Pierce County, the Pierce County Prosecuting Attorney's Office, they are piloting a program. It's for a year, and they're going to allow certain employees to bring their infant child to work. I say certain because your baby has to be 6 weeks to 9 months old. It's the Infants at Work program, and obviously you're not a big fan of it, Jack. Tell me why.
Oh, it's just, call me old school, call me a grandpa Jack.
Old school.
Women should be at the house raising their kids, but if you're bringing your 6-week-old baby to work, your priorities are a little messed up. Your priorities really should be on your child, and hopefully you're in a position where you have a partner who can help you raise your child and they can go to work, or you can do split parenting shifts, but the idea that you're going to bring your child to the Pierce County, I mean, what is a baby going to do? Help file papers? I mean,
I don't think they're interning. For quick side note, the reason I yelled old school at you when you said that is because that's the movie.
Oh, old school.
It's the beginning of old school where Will Ferrell's character gets married. Thank you, text line, by the way. We got a bunch of old schools there. Look, it's virtually impossible these days. Now some people are lucky. Some people have a situation where they can pay for childcare, or they have a spouse or a partner who isn't working or has flexible hours. But it's 2020, man, and things cost a lot. And I don't have a problem, at least hearing about the people who have experienced this kind of thing. There was also the State Department of Health. They did this in 2015. That people generally, employees, respond positively to it. That I know my first reaction was like, oh, God, the last thing I want to hear is a crying baby. My lizard brain is designed to respond, to take me out of whatever I'm doing and pay attention to this noise that's happening. But it seems like the response is twofold. One, people generally like having a baby in the office. They like the change. They like the vibe it brings. Number two is if your kid is fussy, you know, as babies get, parents do have 30 minutes to calm them down or take them home or whatever it is. So I while initially my response was, I don't like this, I kind of have evolved into, well, it doesn't really matter because the parents in this situation, this is for them. You know what I mean?
Right. I think maybe one of the other issues that you could maybe present to these people is again, well, do you want to put your baby in a circumstance that's potentially very dangerous? A workplace, you know, you got someone's carrying a bunch of paint. I don't know what you have a baby doing at a construction site, but let's just say hypothetically. And then is the business then liable for anything that happens to the baby? Because now the baby's like an unpaid employee who just kind of, he just hangs out.
Right.
Cries every so often and is getting paid to be there. So, I mean, at what point in time will you say, well, enough is enough? We've had the fake service animals and we have the real service animals and you know what I mean?
Sure.
At what point in time do we say, okay, well, now we're going to draw the line. The workplace is the workplace. If you want to have a baby, there's a great place called your home where you keep it and you love it and you take care of it. But the workplace is for people who want to work, not people who want to, because I can just see how that would go bad so fast with everybody at KSCO or Cairo going up to the little baby squeezing his cheeks.
Sure.
Productivity goes down 30%. I guarantee it.
I don't know. I mean, I think moms are the best multitaskers in the world. You're also not talking about, this isn't an everyday thing. It's just, you know, maybe a couple days. It gives some breathing room to your schedule, maybe your wallet, if you don't have to pay for childcare every day. We're going to take a little break here, but 98973, the State Roofing text line. Would you do this? How do you feel about this out there? I want to know. Coming up next, it's the 8 o'clock hour, Cairo Nights. You're listening to Mace and the world famous Jack Stein. But then again, no.